Okay. Last Sunday's lesson, we got down through 2 Chronicles chapter 30, and we made it through verse 22. I have come across several sound individuals that have mentioned that they believe that the Passover occurred on the morning of the 15th, and that's not right. And I can't figure out how they came up with that. Scripture says that the Passover is to happen on the 14th, and I thought that. I know there's a scripture that has to prove it, and there is. So turn to Numbers 33 and verse 3. This is a retelling of the children of Israel being led out of Egypt. Numbers 33 and verse 3. And they departed from Ramesses in the first month. Okay, we got the month right. On the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover, the day after the Passover. The Passover was observed on the 14th. Now, I think where these men and I'm no smarter than them, don't get me wrong. I know I'm right on this. The Jewish day begins at evening, at sundown. And they, for some reason or another, are transposing this over to be morning somehow or another. That's the only thing I can figure. But, as it says here, on the morrow after the Passover. So, it was the day after the Passover was the 15th. So, the Passover had to have been observed on the 14th. Entirely. Now, we're done with that. We're not going to do any more about that. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And we're going to read verse 22 again. They just had a week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is different from the Passover. We've already established that, hopefully. There seems to be a problem with that, too. But anyway, verse 22 of 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings, and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. So they're coming. This is coming to the end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Hezekiah spoke comfortably, it says here. That means comfortingly. And the reason for that was back in verse 15, where it says that the priests and the Levites were ashamed, and he was trying to comfort them. Yeah, they had turned this all around, and this was done in a quick fast. They took a good while to clean out and clear up the temple and to clean up themselves, not just physically, but spiritually as well. Anyway, he was comforting them, the Levites, that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days. 7 days. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread was over. offering peace offerings. Now, peace offerings is something different. There is no feast of peace offerings. Peace offerings were given any time that there was something between the people and the Lord. And it wasn't a set time or anything like that. It was just whenever the Holy Spirit led them to do it. And making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. Now, we are to confess our sins to our Father. And they were doing what the Lord would have them to do. Now, beginning today's lesson in verse 23, and the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days. Now, last night, and this is every fellowship meeting we have, and for the most part, really, any meeting we have here, you know, you hate to leave. You know, you're in God's house, you're with God's people, and you're hearing God's word proclaimed, and we get to sing, and we got a great song leader, and which is me, in case anybody didn't know that. But they were joyful. This was a wonderful thing, and it had been over 200 years since this had been done right. And they took counsel to keep other 7 days. Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread was over, so this was something different. They were going to be offering offerings to the Lord. And they were going to be worshiping. But this was not a normal feast here. This was something special. This was something in addition. Like our fellowship meetings. When we have a fellowship meeting, people come in from all over the world. Well, maybe not all over the world, but from right about. I mean, we had, 8 churches represented last night? Had a wonderful message. Brother Doug Newell delivered a great message, even if he did try to kill me. Everybody all listen to that one. It's on the church's webpage, too. And then we got to go to the pastor's house and eat up all of his food. Poor little thing. He didn't even have any leftovers to eat for breakfast. So we had a great time. And you hate to see it over. And wouldn't it have been wonderful if we could have said, well, we're going to stay here at his house for another 7 days. Well, we can't do that. But, you know, you just hate to leave. And these people hate to leave. Many of them had come from a long ways off. All over Israel and Judah to come to Jerusalem to observe the Passover and then to have the 7 days of unleavened bread. And they took counsel to keep other 7 days. Now, in times past, now a long time past, I'm talking about back when I was a little whipper. There used to be people would have a revival meeting and it would start out 5 days long. And then it would end up being 10 days long. And then it would be until they just had to go home. That don't happen much anymore. Matter of fact, I haven't heard of it happening in a long time. But they wanted to have other 7 days. And they kept other 7 days with gladness. Now, when we come into God's house, I have a feeling that sometimes we come in here because we got to. And really, there's nothing wrong with got to, because if you're a child of God, you got to. But that being the only reason, that's not good. That's not good. We need to come into God's house with gladness. Well, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful to be able to be here this morning? All of us? But they kept another 7 days. Verse 24, for Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep, and the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. So let's see what this is going on here, okay? Hezekiah was so happy with the outcome of this. Now, things don't always work out. You know, we planned to have a Bible conference this year, and everybody was looking forward to it. And the pastor was trying to make a list of people who we were going to have, and then up jumped the virus. And, well, you can't assemble here, you can't do this, you can't do that. And so many people were not going to be able to be here. And finally, it came to the point where, well, we didn't have any place to have it, for one thing. And so this year we didn't get to have a conference. Now, if the Lord doesn't come back before then, you wait till next year. We look forward to it. Anyway, he gave the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. Now, what did they do? Did they say, well, thank you very much, and they took them home? No. These were for sacrifices. These were to be offered up to the Lord. And then the princes, or the men of authority, those that were high up in the government, gave to the congregation another 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of priests sanctified themselves. In other words, they cleansed themselves to prepare to offer these sacrifices. Now, it would take a lot of priests to do this many sacrifices. We're talking about 2,000 bullocks and 17,000 sheep. I don't have any idea how long that would take or how many priests it would take. It. Well, we know they had 7 days to do it in because they were going to keep another 7 days. How many priests would it take to offer that many sacrifices in 7 days? And it would take a lot of them. And it says a great number of priests sanctified themselves. They made themselves ready. Verse 25, and all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. Hallelujah. Now, before Brother McCool came to be pastor, we had gone for a while without having a pastor, and there's a lot of other churches that don't have a pastor right now. Some of them have been going on for a long time, longer than we did. And when he came, not knowing him as well as we should, we rejoiced. But, you know, we rejoice now because he is here. He is the man that God has placed in our church to be the under-shepherd. He is to instruct us in God's word. Now, he's not trying to take over the work of the Holy Spirit, and I got a fly buzzing around me. But he takes care of the church. He takes care of the spiritual needs of the church. And unfortunately, here lately, he's been taking care of some of the physical needs of the church. And hopefully that will end now that Connie is whole. Anyway, he's talking about all of them here, all those that came in, the congregation of Judah, the priests, the Levites, the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came in. We don't have any strangers come in. We need to try to work on that, I think, you know, to see if we can talk to people. And we know it's in the Lord's hands who he's going to call and everything like that. But, you know, we need to be about the master's business. And they rejoiced. Verse 26, so there was great joy in Jerusalem. Great joy in Jerusalem. There's great joy in King's Edition. Whenever we have a meeting, whenever we have a special meeting, you know what? This is a special meeting. We get to come to the Lord's house on the Lord's day, hear, sing songs of praise to the Lord, hear the Lord's word taught and preached. We get to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You tell me this isn't a special day? This is a really special day. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. So this was that special of a time. Not since Solomon's time. And if you want to go back and study in that, go ahead. You'll let you know how things are a little different. Yeah, but the joy was there. They were doing things in the right way. And they were following what the Lord wanted them to do. Verse 27, then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard. Now I want you to listen to this. They blessed the people, and their voice was heard. Whose voice? The priests and the Levites? No. The people's voices were heard. And their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Now, when we sing songs, we need to sing with all of our might. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, just screaming or anything like that, but we need to sing to be heard. And not like God is hard of hearing or anything like that. Well, sometimes when we pray in a whisper, he hears. Sometimes we pray just within our own head, and he hears. But we need to make our prayers and our songs and things like that, we need to make them go up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Now, chapter 31. If I can get my notes open here. Chapter 31 and verse 1. Now when all this was finished, when it was over, the Passover, the 7 days, the other 7 days, when this was over, all Israel that were present went out of the cities of Judah. Now this is the people from Israel, the kingdom of Israel, not the nation of Israel, the kingdom of Israel. They hadn't been taken into captivity yet at this point in time. And break the images in pieces. I thought they'd already done this. No, this was just at Jerusalem where all this had taken place. You remember where they went around destroying the idols and tearing down the high places and stuff. They went out to the cities of Judah round about and break the images in pieces, all these idols, and cut down the groves. There wasn't going to be no Saint Swithin's Day trees being worshipped or anything like that, and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin. So all throughout Judah, they went and they tore down all these places, all these idols, all these things to false gods. And then it went farther than that. It says, and Ephraim also, and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Now, if you remember, Ephraim and Manasseh were two of the tribes that went with Israel when they departed from Judah. It was when they separated. But there were a lot of people that came back. So there was a representative number, and probably quite a large number, that were in Judah. And these, they had places there, and they went through all that area, and they did the same thing, until they had utterly destroyed them all. They had taken care of everything, got rid of it all. Wouldn't it be nice in our lives if we got rid of all of our idols? All the things that draw us away from the Lord? Whatever they might be. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession and to their own city. So that's all the people that lived in Israel, the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom. So they went back to their homes. And I think they went back joyfully. I think they went back singing songs, and I think they went back having a wonderful time, and I think they probably went back talking about it, and wasn't it wonderful? They went to their own cities. Now, a lot of times when people go back to their own cities, they take things with them. Now, I know in past years when we were able to have Bible conferences and people went home, you hear talk for a long time about how what a wonderful conference it was and how Brother this and such had a wonderful message. Well, you know, I never did hear a bad message at any conference. So, you know, you have to just go with that. But they took all this home with them too. Verse 2, and Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service. In other words, where they were supposed to be, to do the job they were supposed to do. I think up to this time, there was just so much to do that they, whatever job that they saw needed to be done, that's what they did. And especially with all these offerings back in chapter 30. But he says here that Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests. Now, normally I would think the high priest would do this. Now, it doesn't say, I looked, and it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that the high priest appointed the places for the people to stay. But generally the high priest took over the spiritual leadership, and the king took over the physical leadership. But that hasn't been the way it had been for a long time. Remember, we told you over 200 years. And so Hezekiah, he was the one that was leading all this. Now see what a good leader can do? In just this short time, he has turned the whole kingdom of Judah around. And they had had a time nobody had seen since the time of Solomon. So anyway, he appointed them where they were to go, what they were to do. And I'm pretty sure that he went from the scripture. You know, the high priest did this. The priest did that. The Levites did this. And on down the line, even down to the people themselves. Every man according to his service. The priests and Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. So every one of them had their job to do. Now, when everyone has a job to do, and they do it, things get done. A lot of things get done. And it's going to continue on being like this for a good while. Verse 3, and he appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, and for the new moons, and for the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. So let's go through here and see what this verse has to say. He appointed also the king's portion. He says, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to give. This is my portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings. Okay, there's going to be an offering in the morning, offering in the evening. And the burnt offerings for the Sabbath. They had an offering for the Sabbath day. And for the new moons, and for the set feast. Now, set feast is those that were told about in the law. And we won't go back to there to do that, but if you want to study about them, I think it was Leviticus chapter 23. I'm not sure on that. But anyway, there's several feasts. These were the set feasts, those that they were to observe, as it is written in the law of the Lord. So he set all this up. So what was the result of this? Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. He says, you give them what their portion should be, that they might be encouraged, that they would study, that they would continue on doing their work, that they did a good job. We don't want them going back to the way they were. You give them their portion. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, or it went out throughout the country, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. So they didn't try to hold anything back. Now, we heard about Ananias and Sapphira last night, how they tried to hold back. These didn't. It says they brought them in abundantly. Now, we're a small congregation here, not many people, but the tithes and offerings are substantial for the number we have. I think the Lord has placed it in our hearts to understand that all the things that we have, everything we have, belongs to Him. And when we give our tithes, when we give our offerings, we're just giving Him back a portion of what is already His. Verse 6, and concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, that means both Israel and Judah. There was a large number from Israel that was now living in Judah, that dwelt in the cities of Judah. They also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God and laid them by heaps. There was so much of them, they just had to stack them up. Now we're going to stop there. Went just a smidgen long. Everybody stay tuned. We'll try to get back to this next Sunday, Lord willing, and the pastor's going to have a great message in about 5 minutes.